Now, where I come from, meals are something to be savored, even celebrated. But there is an alternative for people who have too much to do, don't want to think much about food, or are tired of microwaving plastic from the freezer. There is something called Soylent. It's a powder that turns into a bland beige shake. Some people drink 4 glasses of it a day and thereby never have to quit coding software on their screen for what you might call a meal. Soylent is produced by a startup company that's been attracting some serious venture capital from big Silicon Valley names. Soylent, version 1.4, started shipping in recent weeks. The company's co-founder and CEO came in for a tasting. Rob Reinhart, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
I'm trying to understand the scene. So you're working on this project involving wireless. You guys are probably knocking yourselves out, really focused. But you're noticing what? That, oh, what a pain in the neck going out to find food? Or, like, what is the link between one project and this new direction?
Well, easy. I was living on ramen, essentially, and working all the time, and I was working on something I was very passionate about, and food seemed like more of an impractical distraction, and it seemed like it was labor that I was repeating every day, which is, you know, against the ethos of engineering. You want to have the machine do it. You want to offload it. You want to optimize it. So I thought there has to be a way that we can make this process a little simpler, a little leaner, a little more efficient. And then if you want to go out and enjoy a social meal, that's always there.
So with this thought, this notion of, is there a way to improve on the way that we get our nutrition in a routine way? What were some of your first steps?
So the first steps was to understand the science, to understand the nutritional biochemistry behind what our body is actually doing with the chemicals that we're putting in it. All food is made of chemicals. We just had to find which ones are being used and how. And then at that point, the body doesn't really care if, you know, beta carotene is synthesized or is extracted. It's the same chemical. So what we have to find are, what is the best way to make these amino acids? Because we all need the same amino acids. What are the best blend of lipids? What is the best source of vitamin E? And then try to optimize the production and distribution of all of these different substances so we can produce those a lot more efficiently by not being constrained to how things have been traditionally produced.
Now, was this a kind of new Coke sort of project where quietly, in secret, in a lab, you worked on this till you perfected it and then released it upon the world? Or was there market research? Was there a dialogue with the people who might actually drink this stuff?
This started as a personal side project. I lived on it exclusively, kind of as my own lab rat, just to test what the effects were. And the effects were overwhelmingly positive, personally. No more dishes, no more grocery shopping, no more trying to balance every single meal. It just seems like this huge chunk of complexity that was taking up my brain and hurting my body was just gone. And I really liked it. And I figured that maybe some other people would like it too. And from there, my co-founders and I switched to producing this at scale, and we started shipping this in May of last year, and the response has still been overwhelming. In fact, we're still trying to catch up with demand.
So the funding that you got, I'm just trying to visualize that scene. Did you go in with the product to fancy venture capitalist?
I did. I talked to a lot of different venture capitalists. I mean, it helps that we had a community. We had clearly people that loved the product, but one particular venture capitalist who ended up investing, he tried the product, he loved it, he said he would use it, and he does. I mean, he's a busy man, and he really appreciates the simplicity.
Can we give it a try?
Absolutely.
Here, stay right there, and I'll come around to your side. And this is version 1.4. Oh, look at this. It comes in a Soylent-labeled bottle.
Right. It comes in a pitcher to ease with the preparation.
All right. So we'll give it a shot here.
So about 2 liters constitutes 2,000 calories. It's really easy to quantify. 1 calorie per milliliter. You can plan out precisely how many calories you're going to consume, which is impossible with whole foodstuffs.
All right, my friend. Cheers.
Cheers.
It has a kind of milkshake presentation. It has, you know, if you're going to get yourself a smoothie, it has a hint of dairy. There's no dairy in it, though.
No dairy.
No dairy.
No animal products.
It's a beige-colored, reasonably thin liquid. And Rob, it kind of tastes like nothing.
That's the beauty. The best technology is the one that disappears.
I suppose you could doctor it up, right?
Of course, yeah. People flavor it. Coffee is really popular. Peanut butter, cinnamon is good. You can bake with it. It's heat stable.
You can make like muffins or something.
Yeah, I've had Soylent muffins, Soylent pancakes.
Yeah, it's not too bad. And you've had this more than me. I've only had this for the last 30 seconds.
I've had a lot.
So you're not completely sick of this already?
No. There doesn't have that much of an intrinsic taste. There's nothing really to get sick of.
Your thesis is that if this had a very focused taste, if it exploded in an eruption of garlic, it might get...
Garlic might in particular be unwise. But say if it was flavored like strawberries, you know, you would really easily, quickly get tired of the taste of strawberries. But what we found is this concept called sensory-specific satiety, and that if you hit every different sense just a little bit, there's nothing really to get tired of because your body compensates by craving something that it's been missing out on. So if you have a drink that hits every taste receptor just a little bit, except for bitterness, of course, and gives your body all the nutrition that it needs, it doesn't really get tired of it.
So if you're an individual interested in this, what are some of the benefits? First of all, you can really get a sense of your calorie intake in a day. There is, I suppose, a time savings, right?
Huge time savings. People on average spend an hour and a half, 2 hours on food in a day. And, I mean, some of that is the enjoyment, you know, going out with friends and colleagues and coworkers. That's the beauty of
it. Yeah, Rob, some of it is the enjoyment of it. Just
absolutely.
To emphasize this. Yes.
Right. But if we look at people's behavior, most of our meals are staples. Most of people cycle through a couple cheap, simple, consistent staples day in, day out for breakfast and lunch and some dinners. So we're really hitting those. We're trying to be the staple. We're trying to be cheap. It's about $3 a meal. For a full meal, you know, for 600 calories. People are spending $500 or $600 a month on food. If you were to live on this, it would be closer to $250 a month. And that's for 2,000 calories a day.
Do you worry that you're aiding and abetting workaholics, man? I mean, you know, they're sitting there at their screens hour after hour, and they're just grabbing this from the fridge every once in a while. You know, there's more to life than sitting at the screen.
I don't think it has necessarily anything to do with the screen. In fact, I think this will allow you to get off the grid pretty easily. Think about if you're going on a long camping trip. What's the biggest issue you have to deal with? Your food's going to spoil. In fact, I think we can take this to space. I mean, look at what's dominating our schedule. It's these chores and it's this work. And for most people, you know, cooking is more manufacturing than hobby. You just need to prepare the calories so you and your family don't starve. So if we automate a lot of that labor, I think we're going to find ourselves with a lot more leisure time in the future. We want to help people be passionate. I mean, my friend uses this to go on long motorcycle trips or to camp, to get off the grid for a little bit. If someone is passionate and interested in the work that they do on their computer, I think it's fine to support that.
Now, the name of the product, I'm often reminded that we Americans have trouble with irony. I am aware of the reference. It's to the movie from the 1970s. Edward G. Robinson's last movie, Charlton Heston, looking quite peculiar, is in that role. But that was a dystopian vision of humanity. That's not what you're hoping to achieve with this.
No, in fact, it is the irony. I think the future is going to be closer to a utopia. I think if we can produce food without agriculture and without labor, and we have a broader, more equal access to health in a more sustainable fashion, the world is going to look more like a utopia. So it is kind of a joke in that sense. And it was more inspired by the book, by the way, Make Room, Make Room. About overpopulation. And in the book, Soylent is made of soy and lentil.
Soy and lentil is it? Because, you know, in the movie, it's not what
Soylent
is.
In the movie, it's not. So the director took some creative liberties there.
That's fascinating. I want you to develop that idea just for a moment. I remember reading an enormous special report in The Economist magazine about the future of the world's food supply. And despite advances in technology and in agriculture, there's concern as we move forward in the coming decades, the Earth's ability to feed its growing population. Mm-hmm. You see this as could be part of the discussion?
Absolutely. This is part of the solution. If you can produce more food with less inputs and less energy, then you're going to be able to produce enough food to feed the population without taking so much from the environment. So the first step for us was to eliminate the animal products. The next step is what I think of as biofoods, the idea that you can create and synthesize these foodstuffs using microorganisms. You can use algae and yeast. And we're talking about orders of magnitude efficiency gains potentially here. So a lot of the land and water and labor that we're currently consuming to produce the food, and obviously you can chart it out and see if the population continues to grow at this rate. At some point, the soil is going to run out of minerals. We're going to run out of land. No one's going to want to do all that work. Something's going to come to a head, which is why I think it's important that we get in front of this and we start to think about what is the food really and what is the most efficient way to produce it. And I don't think it's traditional agriculture.
Rob Reinhart is co-founder and CEO of Soylent. Mr. Reinhart, thank you.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.